Yahweh, the only name under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. You know, that's Acts 4:12. You ain't even got to pray about it. You know, there's nowhere in the scripture that he teaches us to pray about his word. He's not looking for somebody to pray about his word. He's looking for somebody to obey his word. The Bible talks about the eyes of Yahweh go to and fro in the earth, seeking, you know, someone to show himself strong in. He's not looking for somebody to pray about, thus saith Yahweh. King James, thus saith the Lord. You know, I've been teaching and preaching about his appointment days. He said, these are my feast. That word feast is moeds, or appointments. Hebrews moeds. And it's for the whole year. And it comes after 6 working days. Now, you ain't got to pray about that. Psalms 104:19 says he appointed the moon for moeds, or seasons. You ain't got to pray about that. You just got to learn to believe it, people. Genesis 1:14 said he put the great lights there. The greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. The stars. For appointments. Signs and seasons. Days and years. Now, you can pray about it all you want to. It's not going to change. In other words, he said the weekly Sabbath is a moed, Leviticus 23:2-3. He said, these are my feasts. Talk about his feast, moeds. And then Psalms 104:19 said he appointed the moon for moeds, or seasons. The word seasons and feast is identical in the Hebrew. They just translated one feast there and one season over there in Psalms and feast there in Leviticus. But it's the same identical Hebrew word. You can verify this. So if the moon is for appointments and the weekly Sabbath is appointment or moed, it don't take no rocket scientist to figure that out. You don't got to pray about it. Just believe it. But it don't say it's for all of them. It don't say it ain't either. It just is talking about worship moeds. Holy convocations. Now, there could be other appointments that's not by the moon, but that we ain't talking about that. We're talking about holy convocations. Read Leviticus 23. These are my feasts. Holy convocations, or gatherings. Now, he's looking for somebody to believe that. And then when he says in Psalms 104:19 that he appointed the moon for seasons, or moeds, or feasts, the weekly Sabbath is a feast. You don't even got to pray about it. Only believe. All things are possible to them that believe. You know, I tell people how preachers, I tell on preachers all the time, how they twist Yahweh's word for their own gain. One prime example I use is Malachi. The book of Malachi chapter 3, if you want to turn over and look at it, he talks about somebody robbing God, it says, King James. It says, will a man rob God? So, yea, you know, they say, where have we robbed? He said, in tithes and offerings. They were somebody not only robbing God, but they were robbing the whole nation. And guess who it was? It was the preachers. Now, they'll quote that scripture to you and say that, bring your tithes and offerings, saints, are you going to be robbing God? That ain't what that's saying. Let's read it. Let me first tell you what it's saying, then we'll read it. You verify it. You won't have to pray over to nothing. All you have to do is believe it. It talks about in Malachi 2. You can turn over and look at it. It said, this commandment is to you, O priest. It's talking to the preachers. The priest. Malachi 2 and 1. Turn over here and read it. It says, let's see, and now, O you priest, this commandment is for you. Now, you can pray about was that for the priest or not, if you want to, but I'm just telling you what it says. Verse 7 says, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of Yahweh hosts. He says, but you are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. Does that sound familiar? By the way, I'm going to be on here hours instead of 30 minutes. I'm going to get to talk a lot here tonight. The brother was gracious to allow us to be on here. And I had a guy call me today who's asking me questions about the lunar Sabbaths. Of course, I will get into that. Naturally, I've been obsessed with it for the last 12 years, so out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth's going to speak. Scripture teaches that. But anyhow, he said, the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of Yahweh of hosts. But you are departed. Now, remember, he's talking about the priest. You are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. The Bible says it's better if they had a millstone tied around their neck and cast into the sea than to offend. That word offend does not hurt somebody's feelings. Offend one of these little ones, talking about cause them a sin. To cause them sin. And what is sin? The Bible definition of sin is transgression the law. You call somebody transgressed the law by telling them it's done away with. You cause them to stumble at it. You tell them it don't mean what it says. You tell them that's just some lying pens of scribes that wrote that, or anything. You can cause people to stumble. Anyhow, verse 9, therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all people, according as you have not kept my ways, but you have been partial in the law. You know what partial is? They just pick and choose smorgasbord type things. But anyhow, my point is, I'm going to get over here to about how they're robbing him and they're robbing the people. Anyhow, he's talking to the preachers. And all the way down through here, you see where he's getting on to them. Verse 14. Yet you say, wherefore? Because Yahweh have been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth. So he's still talking what they say. Talking about his preachers. Now, verse chapter 3, Let's read verse 17, 2 and 17. Ye have wearied Yahweh with your words, yet you say, where and how we wearied him. Still talking to the preachers. When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of Yahweh, and he delighteth in them, or where is the mighty one or Elohim of judgment? This is what the preachers are saying. And in other words, they're telling these people, well, that's okay. They call evil good and good evil. I'm sure most of you have heard that. But here we're going to get to our verse here, 3 and 1. He said, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the master whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith Yahweh of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? Anyhow, he goes on down. He's still talking to them. Verse 8. Let's read verse 7 so we can... let's read 6 too. It's all good. 6, 3 and 6. Malachi 3 and 6. For I am Yahweh. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from my ordinance. Talk to the preachers. And have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith Yahweh of hosts. But you said, where shall we return? Question mark. Verse 8. Will a man rob God? Question mark. Yet ye have robbed me. Talking to the preachers. But ye saying, wherein have we robbed thee? In other words, he said, how did we rob you, Yahweh? He said, in tithes and offerings. Talk to the preachers. And he's going to tell you how they robbed him in tithes and offerings. Listen, verse 9. He said, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. In other words, you've robbed the whole nation. And he's going to tell you how he robbed the whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes, verse 10, into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith Yahweh of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you shall not be room enough to receive it. In other words, the preachers would get the tithes and offerings, right? But verse 10 says, bring them into the storehouse. In other words, that they would be meat in his house. In other words, the tithes didn't just go into the preacher's bank account. They went into the storehouse for the widows, the fatherless, the orphans, the singers. They got a portion of the tithes too. I wonder how many preachers pay their choir. But anyhow, they were robbing them because they wasn't bringing the tithes into the storehouse. They wasn't doing what they were commanded to do with them. And remember, they got the tithes, 10% of every grain or every corn or whatever that the people raised, because they didn't get an inheritance in the land, but they got 10% of all the people's crops. Now, he says that if they'll bring them tithes in the storehouse and do what he's supposed to do with them, he'll pour you out a blessing that they won't have room to receive it. How's he going to do this? He's going to open the windows of heaven. We'll read this here in it. He's going to open the windows of heaven, and the people is going to be so blessed, and their crops are going to be so abundant and so plenteous that the 10% of it, the storehouse, the priestess, storehouses won't even have room to receive it. But because they're not doing it and bringing the tithes in the storehouse like he's supposed to, putting it in their own bank account, he said, you're cursed with a curse. In other words, they're robbing Yahweh. And they're causing the people to not be blessed, because he's not going to pour out the blessing on the people to make their crops be so plenteous, because the priest had a commandment to take tithes of the brother. They would get their 10%. But Yahweh was not going to allow that to happen. So the people are being robbed. They robbed the preachers, robbed them. You know, there's a place there in Proverbs. Let's turn over, read to that Proverbs 22:16. Keep your place there at Malachi. Let's look at Proverbs 22:16 right quick. You know, the scriptures, it lines up everywhere. It talks about if you give to the rich, you're going to come to want. A lot of these preachers are rich, and they're taking people's money, and we got a promise here, and you ain't even got to pray over it either, that you'll come to want if you give to the rich. Look, did I say, what did I say, 22:16? I said 22:16. Look here what it says. He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. In other words, you're going to come to want. You don't need to do that. If someone oppresses the poor to increase his riches, he's going to come to want. Not only him, but he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. Now, back over to Malachi. I can't hardly get enough of this. You know, these preachers take and twist these scriptures just like they do in Revelation, where it says to the angel of the church. It's talking to the messenger. Angel and messenger is synonymous there. To the preacher of the church. He says, you're lukewarm. The preachers are lukewarm. Now, they'll turn it around and tell the saints they're lukewarm, and he's going to spew them out of their mouth. But he's talking to the preacher again. Now, the saints are all slightly lukewarm, too, because the preacher is. They're just preaching what they've heard, and it go on. But let's read Malachi 9. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. They're cursed. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me, now here we say, if Yahweh of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Well, see, the preachers ain't got enough faith to believe this, so they'll grab it and run to their bank with it instead of trying to do a work for Yahweh. Verse 11, he says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, talking about so their crops will be plentiful, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith Yahweh of hosts. In other words, that's how he's going to fill the storehouses up. He's going to bless the people, and they won't have room to hold it. Verse 12, and all nations shall call you blessed, instead of cursed. For ye shall be a delightsome land, saith Yahweh of hosts. Verse 13, your words have been stout against me, saith Yahweh. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said, it is vain to serve Yahweh. And what profit is it that we keep his ordinance? Ain't that something? And that we have walked mournfully before Yahweh of hosts, and now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt Yahweh are even delivered. You know, I like this next verse. Then they that feared Yahweh spake off one to another. Talk about us, those that fear him, keep his commandments. It says, and Yahweh hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Yahweh and thought upon his name. Some people reject his name. They still preaching the name Jesus after 30-something years. Now, how smart is that? You say, well, Brother Arnold, King James says Jesus. Well, sure it does. It also says that Easter. They're going to take Peter at Easter, but it's Passover. That's real easy to prove that where you see the name Jesus there in the New Testament, it's supposed to be YHWH, Yahweh. Now, you can go over to Joel 2:32. It talks about in the last days, whosoever calls on the name Yahweh, YHWH, shall be saved or delivered. And then you see them repeating that same quote over in the book of Acts and different places in there in Scripture, Paul and Peter both. Acts 2, Peter said, this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days whoever calls on the name YHWH, got Lord there in King James, shall be saved. And then Paul quoted it again, where he said, there's no difference between a Jew and a Greek, but whoever calls on the name Yahweh be delivered or saved. That's the saving name, YHWH. But anyhow, they are those that feared Yahweh and thought on his name. He says, you know, a book of remembrance. It's going to be a book of remembrance. Was written before them that fear, for them that feared Yahweh and thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith, verse 17, saith Yahweh of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Ain't that great? You know, then shall ye return and discern between righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth Yahweh and him that serveth him not. I tell you, him that serveth him not. You tell them what the Scripture says, and they say, well, I'll pray about it. You ain't got to pray about it. You don't pray over John 3:16, where it says, for Yahweh so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. You just believe it. You don't pray over that. Look at verse 4, Malachi 4:4. I like this. And you should like it. You should like it too. You know, it says, remember ye. It's one of the last things he says before the New Testament. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Hor for all Israel with his statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahweh. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Remember ye the law of Moses, he said. Well, Brother Arnold, I thought the law of Moses done away with. No, I can quote you a scripture right out of the New Testament where Paul was preaching to a New Testament church or assembly. And he said, you think I speak as a man? Or saith not the law also? In other words, he's using the law to prove what he's saying to a New Testament church. Imagine if I'd done that. Imagine if I went down to the First Baptist or one of any church and said, you think I'm just saying this? Or saith not the law also? They go, so we're not under law. But let me finish quoting it. He told him, he said, you think I'm speaking as a man, or saith not the law also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the labor is worthy of his reward. Now, I believe that scriptures. But he's quoting the law of Moses. Actually, it's the law of Yahweh through the mouth of Moses. There's other places, too, in the New Testament where it says, like, talking about the women keeping silent in the church. He said, as also saith the law. Well, what if I come into your assembly, and a lot of these assemblies, and said, hey, don't eat swine's flesh, as also saith the law. For according to Isaiah, when he comes back, he's going to destroy you. It's not according to Isaiah, it's according to, he said, thus saith Yahweh. He said, behold, he said, I come with fire and with the chariots. Talking about the second coming. He said he's going to destroy those that are eating swine's flesh. That's in Isaiah 66, starting about verse 15, 16, 17. He said, that's thus saith Yahweh. Anyhow, because we've got so much time here, I'll give a phone number out. You can call in live if you care to. You know, I had a brother call me the other day. He's really been blessed. I had a lot of people call and tell me how much they've been blessed for keeping lunar Sabbaths. You know, the scripture says that he'll bless you going out, coming in, and whatever your hands touch will prosper if you'll keep his Sabbaths from polluting and turn your foot, you know, from polluting his holy day. And call the Sabbath of the light, holy Jehovah. He said, I'll cause you to ride on the high places of the earth. He said, I'll bless you going out and coming in. He said, whatever your hands touch will prosper. It's a pretty good promise, ain't it? The law is righteous, holy, and just. He said, it's health to our navel and marrow to our bones. He healeth all our diseases. You know, there's so much in keeping Yahweh's word and so many promises. And there's promises of being cursed if you don't keep it. You look over, I think it's Deuteronomy, it gives the blessings and the curses. Cursed shall you be in the city and the field and, you know, the country and going out and coming in, or blessed shall you be in the city or in the country, in the field, going out and coming in, if you keep his commandments. He says, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. But a number, if anybody wants to call, their code is 770-483-8542. That's 770-483-8542. You may have been blessed for keeping the true weekly Sabbath. Now, I was blessed. I kept Friday evening and Saturday evening for many years, and I was blessed. It's all I knew. And, you know, I knew I didn't want to keep the first day of the week. I figured anybody with two brains would want to keep the seventh day of the week after reading just what little bit I knew. To keep the seventh day, the Sabbath. And anyhow, that's the better choice between Saturday and Sunday, but that wasn't the calendar they used. The calendar they used was the Genesis, the creation calendar, 1:14, where he said, let them, talking about the sun, moon, stars, he let them be for you days and years, signs and seasons. That word signs is a beacon. Like the moon, it'll go off and on. It'll beacon appointments. That word seasons is Moeds or feast. And that's including the weekly feast, people. The reason we know, or one reason we know, we've got many reasons to know, Ezekiel 46, 1 and 3, it says the gates, talking about the gates of Yahweh's house that looks toward the east there, he said they're to be shut the 6 working days. Now, you know good and well you got 6 working days each week, right? But he said they're to be open on the Sabbath and the day of the new moon. These are worship days. Get this. Sabbaths and new moons are worship days. The Sabbath can't never be one of the 6 working days, and neither can the new moon. There's 3 category of days there. You got Sabbaths, new moons, and the 6 working days. Well, if you keep your worship days, like where it's the Sabbath, last Sabbath of the month, or the moon, that's where we get our word month, moon, moon. Indians used to say many moons. The last Sabbath of the moon, or month, you leave the gates open on the Sabbath and the day of the new moon. They're worship days. And your first work day of the week, of the six work days, begins after the new moon. Because remember, the new moon Sabbath's not one of the six working days. And then when you rest the seventh day, after you have worked six working days, and you rest that seventh day, guess what? It'll be the eighth day of the month. It'll be a half moon. You're counting from the new moon. And then you'll work six more days and rest the seventh day, and it'll be a full moon. It'll beacon. It beacons your appointments. Then you work six more days, rest the seventh day, and it'll be a waning half moon going down. And so forth. This is why we can offer a $10,000 reward to anybody in Scripture that can pinpoint a weekly Sabbath that was not on one of these major phases of the moon. Plus, lately we have been showing people conclusive evidence how it is utterly impossible to keep a cycle count, say the claim that they keep an uninterrupted, unbroken cycle from creation, count 1 through 7, which is utterly impossible for this reason. When people begin to multiply on earth and migrated east and west, when they meet on the other side of the earth, counting 1 through 7, uninterrupted, either one of them, when they meet, shake hands on opposite sides of the earth, they both counted their cycles and never missed a beat, and they meet, let's say they won't meet, but their descendants meet 1,000 years later, they'll be in two different days or cycles. It's an absolute. Can't be argued against intelligibly. That's why they created what they call International Dateline. So they found out they'd be on two different dates, so they said, hey, when you cross this man-made imaginary dateline, you have to either add or subtract a 24-hour day, or else you'll be in two different days. They discovered this. When Magellan sailed around the earth, got back to where he started from, he's on a different day than the people that stayed still. So, these people that are traveling will be in two different cycles. Now, here's what makes it impossible. The people that goes east gains time because they see the sun sooner and sooner as they go around the earth. They'll gain time, and they'll get, say, 12 hours ahead of Jerusalem in that cycle if somebody stayed there in Jerusalem. And then those that went west or go away from the sun, they'll lose time, and they'll get 12 hours behind Jerusalem when they get on the other side of the earth. And the one that went east to keep the Sabbath, then Jerusalem to keep it 12 hours later, and then the ones that went west to keep it 12 hours after Jerusalem. But these people that are sitting in the same house, same living room, on the same sofa, will be in two different cycles. They'll be 2 days, 24 hours apart in their Sabbath keeping. Because the one that went east to keep it, and then the one that had traveled west to keep it 24 hours later. This is an absolute fact, and it's just as sure as the air you breathe. Now, what I would like to say why it's impossible to keep it today is you do not know which direction your ancestors came to the United States or wherever you had on the earth. You don't know which way your descendants or your ancestors migrated into the United States from. Now, if you know that, you could choose Saturday or Sunday if that was going to be your date. But anyhow, this number here, if somebody wants to give us a call, it's air code 770-483-8542. That's 770-483-8542. 8542. If Joe was blessed and you want to testify to it, if you want to ask a question or make a statement, you might just want to fuss me out. Don't matter. You just state your position and hang up with a comment on it. You know, the word of Yahweh is right. And like I said, and Scripture don't teach to pray about His word. Now, you can pray for wisdom, knowledge, understanding, all that, and you should. I encourage that. But when you got a thus saith Yahweh, like in Isaiah 66, where He said He's going to come back and destroy those that eat swine's flesh, He said, that's thus saith Yahweh. If you believe He came the first time, folks, there's more Scripture on the second coming than His first coming. And He said, that's thus saith Yahweh. Wasn't Isaiah. It was thus saith the Almighty. He said, well, brother, I'll pray about it. Well, you can pray about it if you want to. But like I said, He's not looking for somebody to pray about His word, but to obey it. He's not looking for somebody to interpret His word. Scripture's no private interpretation, it says. He's looking for somebody to obey His word, to believe it. He's not looking for somebody to do these things. He's just, His eyes are to and fro in the earth, hunting somebody to obey it. So, it don't teach to pray about His scriptures. It teaches to search the scriptures and see if these things be so or not. See, we don't decide what sin is. We decide where to sin or not. Let's take this call. Go ahead, you on.
Hey, Brother Arnold.
Hey, Brother Roger. Talk louder.
Yeah, I heard the last thing you said right there. We don't decide what sin is. And I tell you what, I'm just surrounded by people who are just dead set on taking these abominable vaccinations. And I wonder if you would agree with this statement, that if preachers were preaching according to what the law said, more specifically the food laws, contamination of the blood and stuff like that, do you think there'd be any question about whether people would be willing to take these vaccinations with some of the terrible things they have in them?
No, I don't believe we need that. You know, you couldn't pay me to take that stuff, but you reminded me of something I done in the assembly the other day. They sung a song about how that Yahweh watches over the righteous and that He keepeth all His bones and not a one of them are broken, about the righteous.
Yeah.
And then I remembered it dawned on me how that it was prophesied that not a bone of His would be broken, and we know He was righteous, right? And when they got to Him, they pierced His side because the prophecy, not a bone be broken. Not only will He take care of our ailments if we get them and heal all our diseases. I mentioned this in the assembly, and my wife got on to him about it because they was one or two, and they were broken bones, and she had broke her shoulder and fell off a bobcat. She was on a tripped off something. Well, anyhow, of course, that's been a while back. It's been about a year or two ago. And she said, I ought not say stuff like that. And I said, well, I wasn't trying to hurt nobody's feelings, but I would have said it even if my arm was broke. I said, I might have a broke leg tomorrow, but I'm telling you, the scripture says the righteous that he keepeth all his bones, not a one is broken. And I said, now, I hadn't really searched it out, studied it out, and I know sometimes we have broke bones and stuff like that, you know, but that don't change the scripture. I used to tell people at a seminar I used to go to, the Bible said, train a child up the way that it should go, and when it's old, it'll not depart, right? Well, even if our children depart and go into the world, it don't change the scripture. It's something I've done wrong, you know. If I get broken bones, I have to start working and repenting and find out what I'm doing wrong. But like I said, I just said that, and maybe I should have looked into it first. I don't know, but it just seemed so plain. I didn't figure there's no need of praying over it. He said that he keepeth all his bones, not one is broken, talking about the righteous. You know, and what I'm saying tonight, there ain't no need me praying about that. I just got to believe it.
Right. Well, I just wanted to...
talk louder.
I just wanted to tell you that. It's such an issue around here. I just feel like that I'm just surrounded with these people. Makes me want to tell them, you know, I told them to let me know when they get these shots. I don't want to be around them for a while because they're contagious for about 3 weeks, especially with this swine flu.
Oh, yeah, they tell them to wash your hands, you know, and stuff. I don't care about striking hands with them either, but you know, the world's gonna do it. But like you said, we don't. I believe we could get so close to go, Brother Roger, that you know, there ain't enough devils in hell to put nothing on his people. A mosquito turn and go the other way.
Yeah.
And we could get so full of his word and his spirit that, you know, germs will die on our hand. And you know, so what we got to do is just keep his laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments and teach them and hope people will listen and obey them and be blessed. Well, I appreciate you calling in. We'll talk about that. Maybe somebody else got some comments on it.
Okay, Brother Arnold. I'll talk to you later.
All right, shalom. You know, that was Brother Roger from Dayton, Ohio. And anybody got any comments about it or anything, don't matter. We got another 15 minutes to talk. And I didn't know I was going to have an hour to just 45 minutes ago when I called in. But anyhow, we are more than conquerors, the scripture teaches, through the Messiah who strengthens us. Now, I know there's a verse that said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Yahweh delivers him out of them all. He says there's an angel of Yahweh and count round about them that fear him, and he'll deliver them. So, we can trust, put our trust in the written word and believe when he says that the moon is for Moed and the weekly Sabbath is a Moed. Now you can argue with that all you want to, but what ought us to be doing is finding out how it works. Meditating on thinking about it, because we've already proven and already done crushed that doctrine of the uninterrupted cycle 1 through 7, because you'll have two of them when the people meet on opposite side of the earth. You'll have two cycles. And the scripture only teaches one seventh-day cycle. Now remember, this problem goes away with the moon. And the reason it does is because when you get on the other side of the earth, see, it self-adjusts. When the people meet on opposite side of the earth, they look up, they're under the same moon. And they'll keep their new moon worship day, and then 6 work days, rest the 7th day. And they'll be on the same page. But them other people that are counting 1 through 7, not only will they be in 24 hours apart in their Sabbath keeping, a full 24 hours apart in their Sabbath keeping, one of them will have to count for Pentecost from tomorrow to Saturday. The other will count for Pentecost from tomorrow to Sunday. They'll be a day apart on keeping Pentecost. And suppose if the tribes that migrated east and west 1,000 years later and they met and intermarried with the two tribes, the husband would keep Saturday and then the wife have to wait till the cycle gets around to her and she'll keep it the next day on Sunday. And I don't know what cycle the children would keep. But that's not Yahweh's. That proves Yahweh didn't choose that method of counting his seventh-day Sabbath. And it's in perfect harmony when he said the moon is for appointments. You don't think the week of the Sabbath is an appointment? You can't exclude it. The Bible don't exclude it. When you read Leviticus 23, did you know, I mentioned this too, and it's worth mentioning again. Did you know you can go to Leviticus 23 and say you didn't know nothing about no calendars, Saturday or lunar or anything, and follow them instructions of Leviticus 23 where he said, these are my feasts. It talks about holy convocations. 6 days, after 6 days working, then you keep the Sabbath in all your dwellings. It's a holy convocation. Did you know that you can go over there and just simply obey them instructions and don't add to or take away? And guess what? The Sabbaths will be on the 8th of the month, not on your calendar, of the moon. The 15th, which is a full moon. The 22nd, which is a waning half moon, and the 29th, last sliver, throughout the whole year. In other words, to give you an example, it's easier to understand if I do it like it was a contract to go to work, and you was in the union. And let's say we went, this man's going to let us work for him, and here's the contract, and he hands us Leviticus 23. And we're going to start in the 7th month because there's a lot of dates there. My contract tells us that we do not have to work on the new moons, and we're in the union. We don't have to work over 6 days without a rest day. And all the days he gives us there in his contract, we can use them as worship days with pay. We don't have to work. Well, we wouldn't have a bit of problem. We would keep the 7th month, we'd keep the new moon, and there's nothing in our contract for we'd work the next day, we'd work the 2nd day of the month, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th day of the month, but that's 6 working days, but we wouldn't have to work the 7th day because our contract says that we don't have to work over 6 days in a row and we keep the 7th. So we would keep the 8th day of that month, but then, guess what? We know the 10th day of that month is a no-work day, so he gives us that. But the 9th, we would have to work, maybe preparation or whatever. But after the 10th is over, we got paid for it. We didn't have to work. It's worship day. We'd have to work the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th. But lo and behold, he gives us the 15th in the 7th month. So we would take that day. Then we would work the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20, 21. But then he gives us that next day, which is the 22nd. Because it says so right there in the scripture. It's called the 8th day, counting from the 15th. Then after that, we work 6 more days, and we rest again, because we don't go over 6 working days. That would put us on the 29th. And then we got the new moon coming up again. So we would take the 29th and the day of the new moon. And then we would start over again. We'd work 6 days and we'd rest the 7th day, which would be on the 8th Then we'd do it again, rest on the 15th, and so forth. Throughout the whole year, just simply following the instructions. I don't know if I explained it as good as I'd like to, but that's the way it is. And I'm so thankful and so blessed to keep His commandments. But like I said, these preachers out there, and they want to pray about everything, and there's nothing wrong with praying about everything for us, the word of that, but you don't have to pray about a thus saith Yahweh. If He says it, just believe it. And He don't have to say it but one time either. It's just as true if He says it one time as if He says it a dozen times. He says it's impossible for Him to lie. He took all that out of him. If a man will do that, he'll be blessed. If he don't do it, he'll be cursed. So, don't pray about the scripture. Search and see if it's so or not. Well, we know the scripture's so, but if somebody tells you something and tell you it's written, then search and see if it is written, then believe it. You don't even have to understand it. He said, pray, would you pray for understanding? But His ways are so much higher over, you know, His ways, not our ways, His thoughts, our thoughts, but He's so much higher over us as the heavens is the earth. And you know, man hadn't even measured the heights of the heavens. That's how high over us He is. He also talks about He put our sins as far from the east as from the west. You know why He didn't say north and south? You see, if you're going east around the earth, you'll always go east. You'll never go west. You'll always go east. But if you go north to south, you get halfway around the earth, you start going vice versa. Like if you're going north and you keep going north and you go so far, you're going to be headed south. You'll have to think on that a while. At least I did. But that's the way it is. But now going east and west, there's no end to it. You'll never, as long as you're going west, you'll always go west. You'll never go east. As long as you go east, you'll always go east and never go west. But that ain't true going north and south. Because you start down the other side, you'll be going south. You start off going north, but you wind up going south. But you won't go in east and west. But anyhow, just throw that in there. Let me give you a website and a phone number for free literature. Won't cost you a dime. If you believe what we're preaching, don't send us your money. Just tell somebody else. We'll send it literature, and you can look at it, and if you agree with it, make some copies and give somebody else one. I purposed in my heart not to take no money for preaching and teaching Yahweh's word. And, you know, He said, freely to receive, freely to give. There's nothing wrong with a true minister taking his livelihood. But I purposed in my heart not to do it. But anyhow, a website you can go to and download some valuable information is lunarsabbath.info. That's lunarsabbath.info, like I-N-F-O, information. And the phone number, as soon as this broadcast is over, is air code 770-483-8542. That's 770-483-8542. Now, we put this challenge out to the preachers. we'll pay the airtime, and you come on, and we'll take even amounts of time, and we'll earnestly contend and see which Sabbath is right. And I know ain't nobody going, especially since I've been pushing the issue about the cycle can't be right. I know nobody's going to come in here and defend what they are practicing. there's no intelligent way to argue against it. It just make yourself look like stupid. And nobody likes to look stupid. But yet they'll keep on and keeping their Saturday Sabbath like I did for years. But I didn't have nobody tell me all this information. I would have got out of it a long time ago. But anyhow, the challenge is out there. We'll play the broadcast time, give you equal time, and be courteous and gentlemanlike to you, and hear you out, and you hear us out. And the Bible says, prove all things. And we give you a chance to prove your cycle Sabbath, your traditional Sabbath. Just prove all things and hold fast that which is good. We'll give you that opportunity. Now, I know there's a lot of preachers, this puts them on the spot because they're not able to defend what they believe. Now, if I was saying I can prove Sunday, keep Sunday versus Saturday, they would jump all over it. I'll show you where it says keep the seventh day and Sunday's the first day. They would jump right on it with me. You see, the Sunday people tell their congregation stay away from the Saturday people. Because, see, they can't defend against Saturday keepers. Same way with Saturday keepers, they tell them stay away from them Lunar Sabbath people. Because, see, they can't defend against it. That's just the way it is. They can't do it. But anyhow, the number again to call for free literature, air code 770, phone number 483-8542. That's 770-483-8542. Go to our website, lunarsabbath.info. That's LUNARSABBATH.info. If you want to write me, you can. Just put Brother Arnold. The address is 3466 East Hightower Trail. Hightower is one word. Hightower Trail. You put TR period. That's Conyers, Georgia. Conyers, Georgia. Just put GA period. Zip code 30012. That's 3466 East Hightower Trail, Conyers, Georgia. 30012. I'll send you free literature. Ask for the tape 7001 Reasons Why His Name Can't Be Jesus. Ask for our free book, Proof That the True Weekly Sabbaths Are Determined by the Phases of the Moon. Well, our time is just about come and gone. We appreciate you listening to us. Appreciate the extra time we had on here. And listen, you can hear us again Friday at 10:30. We're on Tuesdays, 9:30, Friday at 10:30. And we asked you to search the scripture, see if it be so or not. If you see where we're wrong, let us know so we can either change it or show you where it's right. Till next week, may Yahweh bless you. Shalom.